Edgar, first question. What is it about the original Apple Extended Keyboard that made it so good, and why are most keyboards not up to that level of quality these days?
Basically, it all has to do with the Switch. The original Apple Keyboard, Apple Extended Keyboard, and other keyboards of that era, Apple was had a relationship with Alps, a Japanese company, and they made this really, really great key switch that had a great feel and was mechanical. All the stuff that's made now, it has been engineered to be very inexpensive to manufacture. It hasn't been engineered for, or at least not so much, for comfort and for the general user positive experience. Back then, computers were more expensive, and Apple is an even more premium brand than it is right now. So they wanted to make sure that all their stuff was the absolute best. These days, it has to be a little bit more competitive with the PC market, so they've cut a few corners. Their membrane keyboards are not bad. They're just not as good as the mechanical keyboards used to be, because you know you can only do so much with cheaper technology.
We're talking to Edgar Mathias. He's president of Mathias Corporation, chief designer of the company's products. He has a background in user interface research, and his main responsibility is keeping the companies innovative and competitive and making sure everybody gets their paycheck signed. Something of that nature. Anyway, Edgar, that brings us to the big point here. The membrane keyboards are cheap. I've seen them as cheap as $10 or $15. Do they last as long as those old-fashioned keyboards?
No. The most you'll likely get out of a membrane keyboard is maybe around 5 years. They're only engineered for a certain number of keystrokes, and some are better than others, but generally they don't last anywhere near as long. We've had people with those old Apple Extended keyboards last as long as, 15 years. 10 to 15 years, you'll typically get out of it.
Well, as you know, in a conversation we have, I have an original Apple Extended Keyboard lying around, and it still runs perfectly. This goes back to, what, 1988, 1989, or something like that?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
maybe we can do a deal.
Yes, we have to talk about that. Let's talk about the fundamental things of keyboarding, and this is something which I think people who use personal computers seem to forget all about. The keyboard is the afterthought. They'll spend humongous amounts of money for a good monitor, a good-looking picture, so they can look at the picture all day and not suffer from serious eye strain. But the keyboard is often neglected. It's often an afterthought. In terms of usability, I switch from the membrane keyboard, like the Apple Pro keyboard or something cheaper, and I go back to an extended keyboard. What will I notice in my typing and my comfort level, etc.?
Okay, the first half of your question. Basically, the single cheapest way to improve your user experience with your computer is to buy a better keyboard and a better mouse, because those devices are very, very inexpensive. A really good keyboard, really good mouse are really cheap in comparison to a really fast machine or buying a lot more memory or buying a bigger or better monitor. So you could buy the best and easily spend, well under $200, whereas $200 doesn't get you much if you're trying to buy a better monitor, for example. As far as what our keyboard does for you, the thing about membrane keyboards is that they're made out of plastic, and what you have is you have plastic rubbing against plastic, which is, there's a certain amount of friction there, and they have to lubricate the plastic so that it feels smooth, but you still have two pieces of plastic rubbing together, and it's not smooth. With our keyboard, it has the Alps key switches. They're made out of plastic, but the main switch mechanism is made out of metal. So you have two pieces of metal rubbing together, and there's very little resistance. So any resistance that's there, it's resistance that the designer of the switch purposefully put in there. There's a spring, and so they were able to engineer that switch so it had exactly the right kind of force curve, so that it gave the just the right amount of resistance to hold up your hand, and then when you give a little bit more force, it breaks through that amount and then just smoothly goes all the way down. Whereas on a membrane keyboard, it's not, you can't do that as well, because you know you break that amount force that will allow the key to go down, and then there's still resistance involved of the plastic rubbing against the plastic.
That's an interesting point. That brings up an interesting point, Edgar. As you were talking, and we're going to go into your product, which I'm going to say at the start, this is one super monster keyboard. As we were talking, I took your keyboard, which we'll get into in a second here, and I placed my fingers on them to rest. And then I turned back to my son's computer, and he has a standard Apple Pro keyboard. And as I put my fingers on them, the keys started pressing inward. So that kind of bears out what you're saying, but now let's bring that up to the present day. We have the Apple Extended Keyboard, the Apple Extended Keyboard 2. They're no longer being made. And you decided, wouldn't it be nice to come out with a keyboard like that? So what did you do, and what did you end up with?
What caused it to happen, we make a number of different keyboards for specialty markets, and they're quite expensive, some of them. We make one-handed keyboards for people with disabilities. And that keyboard uses the same switch that the old Apple keyboards used, or at least the modern version of that switch. Our supplier approached us, I guess about a year ago, a little over that actually. They'd designed a case enclosure that looks similar to the current style of Apple's keyboards and Apple's equipment, and they said, we could build you a keyboard that uses these switches. We debated it, and it seemed like a good idea, so we went ahead and did it. The keyboard initially sold pretty well, but it only recently took off, and that was as a result of review in Tidbits, which is an online newsletter.
Yeah, Adam Inks, by the way, has been a guest on our show occasionally, so we're very well aware of him in the newsletter and the review, which is how I heard about your product, which is called Tactile Pro?
That's right. It's a Tactile Pro keyboard.
Right. And tell us more about it, what it costs, and how to get one.
The easiest way to get it is to go to our website. You can go to tactilepro.com, and there's two buttons on there. One of them says buy online. You can buy it directly from us. We also have a number of resellers that carry it, so there's a button right next to it that says, I believe it's something like store locator. So it'll show all the different retailers that carry it, so you can buy it through them as well.
Now, having a keyboard like this, and we're going to discuss the speech features of it, including one feature that fits in the why didn't I think of this category in a moment. But the one thing I notice about this keyboard, there's a personal reaction. And I work on a keyboard all day, and I have since I was 11 years old. I learned how to type when I was 11, which is so many years ago. I think that's before they invented the typewriter, as a matter of fact.
Wow. You must be an old guy.
Well, I don't know how old I am, but my son learned... And he's not an old guy, obviously. He learned how to keyboard when he was 4 or 5. And he's very, very good at it. I notice with this kind of keyboard, number one is, at the end of the day, my fingers don't ache near as much as they did before. Number two, I type faster. Number three, my level of accuracy is better. And that's just a subjective reaction, taking the Tactile Pro keyboard, taking it out of the box, hooking it up to my Mac, and just going to work on it. And this is a reaction of the 2 weeks I've had the product, that those things alone make the keyboard worth considering. And do you find that, too, that maybe, and we don't want to make medical claims for a keyboard, and you're not a doctor, and I'm not a doctor, at least I don't think you're a doctor.
I'm not a doctor, no.
But what he is, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is Edgar Mathias, president of Mathias Corporation. You're listening to the Mac Night Owl Live. And we're talking about the Tactile Pro keyboard. And do you agree with me that maybe, just maybe, you will be a little bit more resistant to wrist injuries if you have a comfortable keyboard?
The basic answer is yes. There are different ways to get injured, and different people react differently. Different people have different habits. There's actually been some very interesting research done on this stuff, and I suspected this for a while, just from my own personal experience. But the worst thing that you can do for your hand is actually click and drag operations on the mouse, because what you're doing is you're sort of forcing one finger down, and you have your hand in this position, and you're forcing it to stay in that position while you're moving your arm. So it's not a very healthy maneuver to do. And Apple, whether knowingly or just sort of intuitively, understood that that was the case. And it's the current interface on the Mac OS is different from the way it used to be. The first version of the Mac OS, you had to click and drag on the menus. And now, if you just click on the menu, it'll drop down a window, and then you just scroll to the menu selection you want, and then you click on that selection. That's a response to minimizing the amount of click and drag that people have to do. That's one issue. The other issue is on the keyboard side. A lot of keyboards now, because they're no longer engineered for comfort, they're engineered for being very inexpensive to manufacture, and they've done this by reducing the number of parts and the amount of complexity. With the Tactile Pro, each switch is an individual component that's soldered onto a circuit board. On a normal keyboard, basically you have the plastic top that just has the keys, and then the switch is just sort of this rubber dome that's over top of a sheet of plastic, or a couple of sheets of plastic, with a circuit printed onto the plastic. And so it's very simple, and then all that stuff hooks into a circuit board with a chip on it. The way memory and keyboards are designed, they don't always design them within the limits of human, the weight of your body. Ultimately, you want the key to have enough resistance so that you don't have to hold your hand up. You want to be able to rest your hand on the keyboard so that the keys don't go down. You only want them to go down when you apply a little bit of force. A lot of the membrane keyboards that are out there, you rest your hand on them, and they go straight down. So even though you don't realize you're doing this, while you're working throughout the day, you're applying a certain amount of force to hold your hand up and not press down the keys. And this has an impact over time. At the end of the day, you're more tired. You don't know why, because it's a subtle thing. But it's kind of like a dripping tap. You know, a few drops is no big deal, but if it's dripping all day, at the end of the day, you've got a bucket full of water that you've paid for, and it's the same kind of thing with a keyboard.
Let's describe the features of the Tactile Pro. What does it offer compared to the Apple Pro keyboard, in addition, of course, to the different key switches?
We wanted something that Mac users would be comfortable with, so we had it done to mirror the keyboard's features exactly. So it's got the same layout as the standard U.S. Apple Pro keyboard. All the keys are in the same locations that they are on the Apple Pro keyboard. We made a number of improvements, some of them subtle, some of them not so subtle. One subtle one is the function keys are, there's some space between the row of function keys and the main keyboard section. On the Apple, on the original Pro keyboard, those keys are right above the number row. So if you overshoot the number row, if you're typing numbers, you can easily hit a function key unintentionally. So that's there. The other feature that we have, which is the one that you referred to as being, why didn't somebody else think of this before, is the option keycaps feature. And what we've done is we've printed the option key symbols and the shift option key symbols on the keys. So you no longer have to call up the keycaps application to find out which key is the Euro key or which key is the trademark symbol, has the trademark symbol on it. In Panther, in OS 10.3, Apple's made it, they've taken away the keycaps accessory and they've hidden it in the keyboard system preference. So there's some extra trouble that you have to go to switch the feature on. It doesn't work quite as well as it used to. So by having it on the keyboard, you don't really need it anymore at all. You can just look at the keyboard, and it's amazing how many useful keys there are on there that people generally aren't aware of because they don't see them on the keyboard.
I hear what you're saying, and that's certainly a feature that you'll grow to love as you progress. I also wanted to comment about the fact that you separate the function keys from the rest of the keyboard, because that was a problem I had, that occasionally I would be typing a number and I'd stick one of those keys, and of course if you punch the wrong one, you'll get expose on your Panther.
Yeah.
You know, F9, F10, F11. And it's just as easy to overreach the hyphen or something like that, or the plus sign, or the delete sign. Another thing about keyboards, I will not mention the name of the manufacturer. I tried out another manufacturer's keyboard, a wireless keyboard, and we'll go into that in a moment. And they made their delete key so small, rather than the full-size delete key that you have and Apple has, I kept overshooting it. It was like uncomfortable for me to delete something. And I wonder sometimes what reasons they make for doing those things in keyboards.
That's an extremely good question. Basically, the way the world is today, everything is manufactured, pretty much everything is manufactured in Asia, and keyboards are manufactured in Asia. So most keyboard manufacturers don't actually tool their own keyboards. What they do is, and I can mention names if you want me to.
Please.
But I won't, unless you want me to.
Oh, go right ahead. Go right ahead. We'll lose some more advertisers, but go ahead.
They'll get a manufacturer that makes keyboards, and they'll get them to manufacture the keyboards for them, and they'll use their existing tooling. And in Asia, touch typing isn't as popular, so the being able to hit the delete key without looking at it isn't quite as necessary as it is here. And they don't have the same sort of history of this is the standard layout, you have to build the standard layout. So they're basically designing for themselves as opposed to designing for the people who are going to use this stuff. We, on the other hand, are very sensitive to that stuff. So we made absolutely sure that the delete key was big so that you hit it when you intend to hit it, and it uses the standard layout, the standard US layout, so that there's no confusion at all about which key you hit, because we use our own products. Everybody here in the office uses the products that we make, and as we're making more products, you know, we're basically designing for ourselves, and the market that we're selling to are basically people like us. So we want to make sure that we don't find our own products annoying.
I should point out, and certainly you have to expect this, if you remember the original Apple extended keyboard, it was not a quiet keyboard. And
yes.
As you can hear, this is a keyboard that is not quiet. It is a keyboard that has a rich, robust sound. Now, you obviously have these keyboards going all day in your office. Do you find that having somebody in one cubicle disturbs the person in the next cubicle because they're using the keyboard that makes this kind of noise?
I personally don't, but there's some people out there who do. And it also depends on who's typing. Some people, you know, really pound the keyboard, and, you know, it resonates through the desk. So your desk is acting as a, you know, a speaker cabinet. And there are other people who don't press as hard and don't make as much noise. But that's basically the trade-off. You're getting that great feel, but they are louder, and there are some things you can do to minimize the noise, but there's only so much you can do. For example, you could put a mouse pad underneath the keyboard, and that insulates it from the desk, and that way, you know, it won't resonate through the desk. But the keyboard itself is louder. And what I've noticed is that the old timers, like me and like you, they're used to the way it was before, Apple's high quality stuff, and they don't care about the noise. It's more people who'd never experienced mechanical key switch keyboards who are used to the membrane stuff, and they don't, you know, their initial reaction might be that it's kind of loud, but in general, most people will get used to it, and they'll accept the trade-off. They'll take the comfort in exchange for a little bit of extra noise.
We're talking to Edgar Mathias, president of Mathias Corporation. They manufacture a number of keyboard products, one of which being the Tactile Pro keyboard. Tactile Pro, can you tell us again, before I ask you the final questions of the show, how to get one?
Easiest way is to go to our website. You can go to tactilepro.com, and that's forward. It'll take you right to the page on our website that has all the information about that, the Tactile Pro. And you can either buy it from us directly, or you can buy it from one of our resellers. There's two buttons on the page. One will give you a list of the resellers, and the other one will take you to our online store, and you can buy it through our online store.
And we should point out it's $99, right?
It's $99.95,
okay.
Which is quite a bit less than what the original Apple Extended keyboard used to cost. The original Apple Extended was, I believe, $220 or $240. So the technology is a lot more expensive, or a lot less expensive than it used to be. Even though it's expensive for a keyboard compared to the membrane stuff that's out there, compared to what it used to be, it's come down to less than half of what the cost used to be. So it's a real bargain.
What kind of warranty do you offer on it?
We have a 5-year warranty on it, and so it's a really good warranty. It catches most of any defect that could happen. Because they're mechanical key switches, there's a higher probability that one switch may be bad, so that's why we have the warranty. In most cases, if there's a bad switch on the keyboard, it's going to happen, you know, within a few weeks of getting the keyboard. And in those cases, we replace them pretty much, no questions asked. And after that period, they'll generally last a long time. You'll get anywhere from 10 to 15 years out of the keyboard. And if you amortize the amount of money you spend on it over that time, the keyboard's really cheap, cheaper than you'd spend on a membrane one. And it's a much, much more pleasant experience.
One interesting question here. Say you really have an accident, you spill the coffee or the Diet Coke or the Mountain Dew on your keyboard. Is there any hope for it, no matter what keyboard you have?
Yes. I don't recommend spilling stuff in the keyboard, but basically the problem lies in if the liquid hardens inside the keyboard. If you can dilute it and dry it out, then you're probably okay. As long as it didn't spill on the PCB and, you know, short out the thing, then you're probably okay. What you can do is, this is what I would do. Fill your bathtub with water and dump the keyboard into it and let it sit there for a little while. And that will dilute out the liquid, and then take it out and air it out and put it in a dry place. And that will allow all the moisture to come out of it. And, that's your best bet for saving your keyboard. It probably won't last as long as it would be if you didn't do this. But if you're going to salvage one, that would be the way to do it.
No guarantees that it will work, of course. It still may not.
It all depends on the spill. If it's a membrane keyboard, you're probably out of luck. Because there's as long as the stuff doesn't harden, you have a chance. But it all depends. It's like a motor vehicle accident. It all depends on each accident is different. It could be a fender bender. You know, it could be more major. It all depends.
Let's talk in this background here, Edgar. We're talking to Edgar Mathias, by the way, president of Mathias Corporation, and we're talking about the Tactile Pro keyboard, which I've already dubbed as my favorite. And that is, you actually were lucky here. They were about or have discontinued these particular key switches. How did you forestall the problem of getting enough switches?
What we did was, basically, Alps has been making these switches for a number of years, and over the years they've re-engineered them to be less expensive because of competition. And There's been more and more competition because in Asia the market is very large there, and mechanical key switch keyboards are sold there quite a bit more than they are here. There's a lot more because there's a lot more competition. There's companies out there that cloned Alps key switch, and so most of the companies that are making mechanical key switch keyboards have switched over to the clone switch, and the clone switch is, in my opinion, absolutely awful. It's loud. It's the feel isn't as good, and it doesn't have the same engineered for humans aspect as the Alps switch. You put your hand on it, and it goes right down. Just a slight, it doesn't have enough resistance to hold up the weight of your hand, which is, in my opinion, a basic failure of the design. So this happened to us after the first couple of production runs on the keyboard, and just before the Tidbits review. So I was completely freaking out that we'd have to discontinue this product because we couldn't get the switch anymore. If you go to Alps website, you'll see that they don't manufacture the switch. We contacted Alps USA, and they told us it's not in any of their catalogs. They don't make it. I'm sorry. What we did was we struck a deal with the factory. They still have the tooling, but it's not worth it to them unless you order a certain number of switches, and that number is 1 million. So they basically said, if you want to keep getting this switch, you have to commit to buying 1 million switches from us, and we'll keep making it for you. So that's what we did. That's what it called for, and we thought there was no way we're going to make this product if it's not a high-quality product that we ourselves would use. We're not interested in the clone switch. We want the genuine high-quality Alps switch, so we committed to buying the 1 million switches.
Which is roughly about 10,000 keyboards?
Which is about 10,000 keyboards, yeah.
So it means you have to sell a lot of keyboards every year or two to be able to keep the production run going.
Exactly. And fortunately, things have been looking really good. After that Tidbits review, it got picked up by Slashdot, and according to the research we did, I believe it's a third, either a third or a half, I don't remember exactly, but I can find out, of the people out there who use Macs are bought them within, before or during the period that Apple made the Apple Extended Keyboard. So we knew that there was a big chunk of people out there who would understand what we were trying to do without too much of a sell job or without too much explanation. We'd mention the words Apple Extended Keyboard, and a light would go off. As a result of the review and all the press that we got, all those people are coming out of the woodwork. And it's quite funny because we're getting people who are ordering the thing, and they're buying, you know, two or three keyboards. And that's pretty rare. That somebody would buy multiple keyboards, and they're doing it because they have multiple computers and they want them on all their computers.
I think my son will appreciate it too. I'm going to get one for his computer. One more time before we go, Edgar, I just want to know, how does one get a Tactile Pro keyboard?
You can go to our website. You can go to tactilepro.com, and that will forward you to the page on our website that has the Tactile Pro. So you don't have to navigate through any menu structure or anything. You just type in tactilepro.com. It'll go straight there. And you can either buy it from us directly, or there are a number of retailers that we sell to. Smalldog is one. Otherworld Computing sells it. And J&R in New York also have it. And we're adding new retailers all the time. We recently found out that Fry's is going to be carrying our products soon. So we're really happy about that as well.
We've been talking to Edgar Mathias, president of Mathias Corporation. They manufacture the Tactile Pro keyboard. It's $99.95 from their website or from a number of dealers. And I have to tell you one more time, this is not a commercial. It's not a paid announcement. It's strictly a personal recommendation. I started using this keyboard maybe a couple of weeks ago, and you can't take me off it. I'm going to make sure my son gets one, too. Thank you for joining us.
Well, if you want to swap with your old classic extended keyboard, I'd be happy to send you one.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we just made a deal. Thank you very much, Edgar.
Okay, thanks, Gene.